Hello and welcome to this week's, it's a different setup this week as we have a team-up episode for you DMH listeners, Disney Magic Hour. This is episode 149, but as I said, it's a team-up with none other than Jimmy Styles. Jimmy, where are we at for the Dopey Dudes?
This is episode number 48 for the Dopey Dudes.
And for this week, me and Jimmy are going to team up and give you our HHN 28 Halloween Horror Nights Top House Rankings. We're also going to go through the news. So just a little bit of information for you guys. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing my voice if you're listening to Jimmy, or maybe vice versa if you normally listen to us and haven't listened to Dopey Dudes. For Disney Magic Hour, this episode is brought to you by MEI Travel for all your vacation planning needs. For visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, traveling anywhere around the globe, visit the experts over at MEI-travel.com where Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. You can find us over at LastGenPodcast.com on Twitter. We're Diz Magic Hour Pod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, we got a group we call Disney Magic Hour. It's pretty easy. Just search for it. Add yourself there. You can find this show on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher. We have an Instagram if you follow at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/Disney Magic Hour if you want to keep this show going. Jimmy, where can everyone find the Dopey Dudes?
The Dopey Dudes you can find at our webpage at www.thedopeydudes.com, our Facebook group at facebook.com/thedopeydudes. And you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/Jimmy Styles.
All right, so we're here together. We decided to do this. Basically, we're going to release this episode on both of our feeds because we were both going to do this episode. We've done this episode before together, but that was before Dopey Dudes.
Yes. That right? Yeah. Well, last year we kind of did kind of a joint episode because I was on DMH with you reviewing the houses, but then you came on our show and was like Halloween Horror Nights for a first-timer because Frank had never
right.
been.
That's right.
And Frank has still never been. And Frank isn't joining us this week because he is over in the Land of the Rising Sun.
That's right.
Yeah, he had another China trip he had to go on, so we figured this worked out pretty well.
Yeah, Melissa right now, she hasn't been able to go yet to HHN, so she's going to be chiming in once she gets to go. But that's going to be a little while longer. But before all that, we have some news we have to hit because there was a ton of news since our last episode. Disney Magic Hour now going bi-weekly to freshen things up a bit. But let's start off with something that was incredibly exciting and very, very happy. I also think that there was some purpose behind how this was done. The Mandalorian has begun production for in the Star Wars realm, produced by Jon Favreau. We got a title, a description, and it's begun production all within a 24-hour span pretty
much.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that just for a second. Let me give you the blurb from the release over on StarWars.com. After the stories of Jango and Boba Fett, another warrior emerges in the Star Wars universe. The Mandalorian is set after the fall of the Empire and before the emergence of the First Order. We follow the travails of a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic. The series will be written and executive produced by Emmy-nominated producer and actor Jon Favreau. Previously announced, Dave Filoni will be directing the first episode. And newly announced is some other episodic directors, Deborah Chow, who actually had a hand in the directing work on Jessica Jones, Bryce Dallas Howard, who I didn't even know she directed, but evidently she directed something called Soulmates, S-O-L-E.
Will she be in Heels?
Don't start with them. Bad movies. This is the one that got me really excited. Taika Waititi is going to be doing one of these episodes. So it tells me, I'm assuming this show has a sense of humor. I don't know. That's my first assumption when I hear that man's name. I think that they did this because I think that this is what, actually, I kind of think this is what everyone needs to start doing. The reaction to things announced on the internet is stupid. It's mm-hmm. It's childish. It's everyone knows, everyone understands. Evidently, everyone has what's exactly going to be wrong and right with the series right from the title or from the first image, or from everything. Like, everyone's an expert, evidently. This is a good way of being like, hey, guess what? This is it. This is a picture, and we're starting shooting. See you in a couple of months. Bye! And then just leave.
Yeah, and that's it.
Because now they don't have to say anything until April, where they will, I will guarantee, show off at least 20 minutes of the first episode at Star Wars Celebration.
Probably.
If not the whole first episode.
Yeah, probably.
It depends. I mean, they're shooting now. What month is this? This is October. We're going to April. Yeah, I mean, you could get the first episode mostly done.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we don't know how much, like, we really don't know much about the streaming service. We still have no, like,
no,
it says, what'd they say, late 2019 it's coming in?
Yeah, there's no specific, you know, date or
yeah,
month.
Yeah, so we
or
really don't even know, like, yeah. you know, how fast they're going to move with this. You know what I mean?
But this got my money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this got my money. I don't know. I wasn't hot on the streaming service before. I was like, ah, we'll see what happens. At least for the beginning, I will put the money down to check out the series.
Yeah, me too.
Favreau was the one who clinched. I mean, Favreau's thing, it was always going to get my interest anyway. But I like that they're bringing in some female talent to shoot this show. Some comedic talent. Dave Filoni is basically the guy, you know, the current. He is being, if he's not already, I think he's going to eventually be the cat who just has creative call on everything.
Maybe.
Because right now, I mean, he's actually even said he was, you know, in regards to the new animated series, he's like, you know, I'm not there all the time, but I'm always, you know, given notes and given reactions and given the main input. So it kind of feels the way George treated me when I first came on. That's what George's role was. And while I don't think that he's like saying, I'm George Lucas, I don't think that was what he was saying at all.
No.
I think that he is, I think he's getting more and more pull, and rightfully so. And I think that's where Dave Filoni is headed, at least as a fan, I do hope that is where he's headed.
Yeah, I agree with all that. One thing I'm kind of surprised about that they're already into, obviously they're into production already.
Yeah.
We haven't heard any casting stuff.
I don't know who the Mandalorian is. I don't think they want to do that anyway. But anyone who's a Sabine fan, I get it. I know you're going to be excited for the possibility of a live action Sabine. I would just probably say not, maybe not anywhere soon. Reason being, Sabine is still a thing in the animated universe. To have her sideswipe out of the story that they still have to tell in that animated universe to a live action, which would more than likely mean a different actress. That's not something they're probably going to do right off the bat. This looks more like a Western. Not that Rebels hasn't had its Western-esque episodes, but just let this be its own thing. Not everything has to be connected to every character we already know. I think that we all need to understand that, because that's going to be what happens going forward. That's how you expand.
I'm a terrible person. I still haven't watched the series finale of Rebels yet. It's almost because I don't want it to end, but yeah. I know I need to watch it.
It's really good.
I know.
Really nailed it. Talk about satisfying.
I don't want the series to be.
Talk about satisfying finales. That is up there, right up there for me. Speaking of people at the top of the food chain with Star Wars, Kathleen Kennedy extended her contract another 3 years as Lucasfilm president. She's been at that position since 2012. So I'm not sure if this, so 2019, 2021, you know, or however that works out in the calendar, she'll have been there 9 to 10 years by the time this next contract ends up. I would assume that's as long as she would want to be at this one spot. She doesn't seem like the type of person that wants to be doing one exact thing forever. But we'll have to see how that goes. I just wanted to say this, particularly for this. Stop listening to rando bloggers. They don't know what's going on in Star Wars. She was never leaving. This isn't a shock. Stop. Just stop with that stuff, because that's just silly talk. Especially after that paper came out, which we're not going to get into, about how much, about 50, it was 51%, I think, of the tweets that were negative in the direction of The Last Jedi, they were from bots.
Yeah.
They were from bots and or they using the same language that was lined up with the Russian tweets that were done during the election cycles. It's a crazy thing to read. If you just look it up, you can search for it. Last Jedi Twitter paper, maybe something that'll help you out. Pretty crazy thing that was looked into. Anyways, so Kathleen Kennedy there for another 3 years, bringing in basically the next series of stories and then exiting after closing this one out.
Yeah.
You would imagine that would be the bow out. I don't see her doing the Iger thing and renewing forever. I really don't.
I don't either.
What just happened this weekend, though? There's some great stuff that happened this weekend. Daredevil season 3, another you know, we talk about Mandalorian. It's in production. Guess what? Daredevil season 3 comes out in 12 days from this recording.
Woo-hoo.
So I'll be honest, I had no idea this was even happening this year.
I thought it wasn't coming out till next year. And then Luke Cage trailer just came out, and says October 19th. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, Luke Cage just dropped semi-recently. I just finished up that season. I actually really dug that season. I also skipped 3 episodes in the middle and missed nothing. I will say that is one of the main problems I have. As much as I enjoy these Netflix tracks, that's one thing I've noticed. Like, oh, I can skip some episodes and it probably won't really matter. But let me give you some. The big news came from New York Comic Con, which actually our friend Sarah is at, and she was in the room for this.
And I'm not going to lie, some of this stuff you might tell me right now, I haven't heard yet because I've been working like a madman this weekend.
Okay, all right.
So I really haven't even been online that much.
Well,
so
how much do you know about Daredevil? That's a good question to start with.
Like, based off like the comics and stuff?
Yeah, have you ever read?
A little bit, but not like, you know.
All right, so basically what's going to happen is the villain that we all were waiting for is finally stepping onto the stage, and that is Bullseye.
Oh, sweet.
So, Agent...
I know Bullseye.
Yeah. Everyone should know Bullseye. I mean, even if you look, the original, the Affleck Daredevil film, there's a lot of problems with it. You want to know it's not a problem? Colin Farrell is Bullseye. He is out of his mind awesome in that movie. I don't care what anyone says. But this is going to be much, much different. This is played by actor Wilson Bethel. And actually, the story that we were told basically by Sarah was that Charlie Cox literally went over and drew the Bullseye on his forehead. in the middle of the thing. So that was how they confirmed. But in the trailer, you even see the actor put on a Bullseye hat, which is, I mean, whatever, sure. Not going to be starting off as a costume killer that you might know from the comics. He's actually an FBI agent who gets slowly corrupted by Fisk into the role. So in the trailer, you see him, and this will explain why you don't see Matt wearing the Daredevil outfit in the first trailer. This guy's going out as Daredevil and just looks like he's just killing people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, very, very excited.
I mean, I'm just, of course, ready for more Wilson Fisk, too, because friggin' D'Onofrio's amazing.
Yeah.
In that
I'm
role.
Very happy to have him back and doing the voice of Wilson Fisk. I just love it so much. Let's go. You know what? No, let's stick with some Marvel news, but in the other realm of reality, which is the MCU. Captain America has wrapped filming. Now, if anyone has noticed, not many of tweets like this have come out from the actors, but Chris Evans sure as hell put a tweet out. Let me give you a tweet. Officially wrapped on Avengers 4, it was an emotional day to say the least. Playing this role, that's a past tense, over the last 8 years has been an honor. Is that a past tense? Not really, I guess.
Not really.
It's not really. To everyone in front of the camera, behind the camera, and in the audience, thank you for the memories. Eternally grateful. I mean, look, this could be very well a smart move by Marvel because they all know that we are expecting Cap to be the one to go. Well, I think that most people are anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a really good way of screwing with people and basically telling them, yeah, he's leaving, just so it doesn't happen.
Just so it doesn't happen. And I still think the movie's just going to be called Avengers 4 at this point, because even Cap calls it that.
It's Avengers Assemble.
That's what you'd think.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be called
Avengers. Isn't there an animated series, Avengers Assembled, or something like that now?
There's also an animated series that involved Spider-Man, so I mean, it doesn't matter. There's an animated Spider-Man movie coming out this year, so what does it matter?
Which I really hope Sony at least gets that right.
I believe they will.
Yeah, because it looks good.
Because I think Sony's name is on it, but it's kind of a Marvel project,
okay.
I hope. Yeah, so, I've always stood by that Cap should be the one not to die. See, that's the difference in my take on it. He doesn't die. He gets lost in time. Something like that. You know, it ends with him getting that dance. It ends with him not only hoisting, Mjolnir or meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Ugh. But also, you know, having
no meow, meow.
The cap. What happened?
Well, there is no meow, meow anymore.
No, there isn't. But, there's a whole other movie, so...
Yeah.
And I don't think that hammer has that enchantment on it now.
No, it doesn't.
So that kind of makes me think, okay, well, he could actually just pick up, that hammer And that rule isn't there, even though he did sort of begin to pick it up in Avengers Age of Ultron. Anyways, I definitely don't see him, quote unquote, dying. I see him being lost to time, because then you're going to have Sebastian Stan step into the role for a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, because Sebastian Stan signed on through like 2050 through the MCU.
He's got a ton of movies on his contract. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that was sort of a goodbye, and everyone's reaction was like, oh. So that's, I don't know. It seems a little too upfront. But then again, Evans has been pretty honest with like, yeah, this is maybe my last thing.
Yeah.
You know, not ever, but, you know, for a little while. I like to think that they'll have him come back eventually. You
know what, like, I don't want to say I'm not sentimental about him not playing the role anymore, but I almost think Infinity War, because, like, my listeners know, like, Frank and I have beaten Infinity War to death. We've talked about Infinity War a lot. But Infinity War was, there wasn't that much Cap. So no. I almost feel like it's kind of getting you ready for, like, it's slowly kind of, I don't want to say weeding him out, but, like, having him not be in the forefront anymore.
I don't think that's what it is. I think that they just, they
no,
made
No, I don't think that's what they were
Thanos,
going for.
Yeah,
but.
They made a Thanos movie, but they had to call it Avengers for marketing reasons.
Yeah.
You know, because the Avengers pretty much are not in it.
No, they're really.
Iron Man is in it.
Yeah.
And then everyone else has 2 to 3 lines.
Yeah.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. It's not really an Avengers movie, in my opinion.
Well, Thor played a pretty decent part in it, but...
Yeah, okay, true. It was Iron Man and Thor, who were never together.
Yeah,
you know, never on screen together. So, it was... yeah, I think that that's... It's really a Thanos movie, but, you know, for marketing reasons, you can't put out a Thanos movie because people wouldn't probably get as excited as when you say Avengers.
Yeah.
That's just how the business works. Let's go back to the Disney... landscape, just for a couple of little notes. Not little notes, actually. I think this is incredibly cool. Janelle Monáe is joining up with the live-action Lady and the Tramp. That's right, you heard it. Live-action Lady and the Tramp. They're going to be real dogs talking actual English, because that's what live-action means. Does live-action not mean what live-action means anymore now that Disney is using this term?
I don't know.
Live-action to me means actual humans being filmed and you seeing said humans on the set. If it's all CGI dogs, I don't know how this is live action. And just like when, you know, when Lion King comes out, live action remake doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because I'm going to take a wild guess and say that the lions are going to be CGI.
This is just a guess. I'm picturing, like, because I think it could be hilarious and I almost want to try to make this video, of just like lions, just like videos of lions with human mouths on them.
Sure.
Like those videos on YouTube.
That would work.
And yeah, that's going to be my Lion King live action.
But yeah, we've really stretched the definition of live action on this. Anyways, Janelle Monáe is going to be in the Lady and the Tramp live action remake, which actually is going to be appearing on the Disney streaming service. Not theatrical release.
I didn't realize that wasn't a theatrical release.
That's straight to the stream.
Okay.
Which might have to do with the next piece of news. But who's she playing? She's playing Peg. So she's going to get to sing. And I am, at least I'm assuming she's going to get to sing. He's a Tramp. And I'm in simply for that moment. I don't care if that's the only scene that like works for me. It already works for me because I think Janelle Monáe is incredible. Let's talk about other live action remakes. Again, live act. Well, this actually might have live action people in it. This is something. Lilo and Stitch?
No.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
I'm very against this
one. Jimmy Styles, not on board.
Very against this one.
The duo behind the live action Aladdin are now headed to Hawaii. Dan Lin and Jonathan Eyreich will bring Stitch to the never ending live action table. No word on whether it follows the path of Lady and the Tramp onto the streaming platform or it's a theatrical release. My gut tells me streaming platform.
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, in the Disney community, people love Lilo and Stitch.
But it was not a book.
But it wasn't great in the box office. So, I mean, you'd get the fanboys and girls out in the theater to see it.
Yeah.
But I think you're better off just putting it on streaming.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to be a streamer. So we'll see with that. But... Here's the thing. The writer, Mike Van Waes, or Wise, W-A-E-S, I apologize for saying that wrong. I'm going to tell you another film that he's written recently that's upcoming. It's called The Crooked Man, based on the Conjuring universe. So that's the guy who's writing Lilo and Stitch.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. He's more known for horror work. Horror. He's a horror writer.
Stitch ends up eating Lilo.
Sure. I'm okay with that. Look, I'm not going to use the term we don't need this, because guess how many films you need? Zero. You don't need movies. We just like them. And then there are important films, but most of them are documentaries and or Schindler's List. That's about it. So it's not one that I would have thought they would have went with.
No, never. Like, I never in a million years. Like, well, that's why when I saw it, I was like, oh, come on.
Really? Yeah.
My listeners know I am squarely against the live action remakes.
But why?
I just don't like them. Like, I have never
but
seen...
But they don't impact your enjoyment of the other one. So what does it matter?
I don't know. I just don't like...
That's
like,
my
I'm
argument.
Like, oh, it's probably just the nostalgic in me of, like, seeing some of these films when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I want to preserve them as... I don't... It's just me.
Okay, so I'm gonna now ask you this. Did you watch Lilo and Stitch as a kid?
Well, however old I was when I saw it.
Okay, so, I mean,
Lilo and Stitch came out a while ago now.
It did. I remember when it came out in the theater. I have a giant vinyl window sticker of Stitch somewhere in this room.
Do you really?
I really do, though. I 100% do.
So it came out in 2002. So, I mean, I was 20. So I wasn't a kid, but I was young.
What I just said before is really my thought on this whole live action thing. It doesn't matter, because either you're going to get a version that you dig or you're not. And no matter what, you have the original. I personally think Jungle Book is better than the animated film. I think Favreau's live action, whatever the definition of that is actually better than the original.
See, I liked Jungle Book. It was fine, but mm-hmm. I wasn't like so head over the heels about it as some other people
were. I'm not saying it's Lawrence of Arabia.
No,
I'm saying it's better than the original animated one. I also think Cinderella live action is actually better than the original animated one.
See,
I think the pace is incredibly better.
Cinderella was kind of... I still have not seen the full feature for the live action one.
Okay.
But, like, the Disney parks kind of ruined it for me. Because, excuse me, when, you know, Disney will do, like, the, you know, in the Walt Disney Theater, like, oh, check out this snippet of Cinderella.
Yeah.
You know, like, before it comes out, they gave away the whole fairy godmother scene. Of Helena Bonham Carter turning her into Cinderella with the dress.
You know what that is, though.
Yeah, but it's something I would have wanted to see watching the whole feature.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I was like, that's the exact scene I wanted to see in the theater when I'm watching the movie, and you just gave it to me for free. I'm like, I'm not going to the theater.
That's trailers, though. I mean, I agree with you. Yeah. But that is unfortunately the way the trailers are now. Yeah, they have to show you the money shot to get you to give up money, because in most cases, yours, you know, notwithstanding, you know, people are like, oh, that's what I want to see, so I want to see more of that. And I think that was a smart scene to pick, because that's pretty much the original one.
Yeah.
Where the differences that I think make it a lot better are, you know, throughout the rest of the film, you know, making the prince more of a character, making Cinderella more of a character, Cate Blanchett being present makes that movie better.
I mean,
That's it. Like, better. You know, so I actually like the remake better. I wouldn't say that for Beauty and the Beast. I like the animated one better. But that's a really long conversation. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah, we don't need to do that now.
What was the other one? There was another live action remake, wasn't there?
Well, you don't want to count Maleficent, do you?
No, it's not a remake. That's why. Actually, I don't know what the hell that movie is. Sequel? Or prequel? Is it an actual prequel to the original animated? I don't believe it is.
It's getting a sequel now.
It is getting a sequel. I don't know why that stupid song keeps popping up in my head.
Sounds like, I mean, neither of us have seen it yet, but apparently that's the only good part of the movie.
It's
that song, and that's going to play like during the credits.
I'm trying to think if I'm forgetting one of the Disney live action remakes, and I feel I am.
Cinderella, Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast. I mean, we haven't gotten Dumbo yet.
I guess Christopher Robin, you could stretch.
No, I don't.
Yeah, but that I don't count that. I think that's what my brain was thinking.
Maybe.
Anyhoot. So, yes, that's all the news fit to chat about that came out this week. At least, you know, as much as I could find that I thought was interesting, because, I don't know, we're kind of a movie show. You're a movie show.
We're just kind of like a fanboy show. Like, we talk about everything, plus, like, the running aspect, because... You know, we do all the Run Disney races and all that stuff.
Yeah, so. It's, you know what? Remember, that all started with a man dying.
Sure did.
And so I don't know why anyone kept doing it.
That's why I'm not running 26.2 miles this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
Frank is. That's why he can carry the dopey dude, you know.
The moniker
for our show.
So speaking of fanboying, let's switch over to another place that we like fanboying about, and that's Universal Studios. Actually, well, there was the picture released for the new Harry Potter ride.
Yes, it was.
I mean, it's very like, hey, there's a lot of trees here, guys. But, yeah. You know, but
it gives you the gist that it's going to be set in the Forbidden Forest. Like, yeah. I mean, that's just been the rumor going around for a long time.
That's been, so. Yeah. Are you, what's the name of the car?
The car. Ford Anglia.
Are you a Ford fan or a Sidekick Hagrid fan?
I think I'd be a Ford fan.
I think you are going to be disappointed. I'm pretty sure we're in Hagrid. Yeah, I think we're in Hagrid's thing. But you know what? Here's my reasoning for that. With this new attraction that evidently it seems like you go through the Forbidden Forest. Universal loves putting actors' faces in front of these things. Robbie Coltrane has been very game
for
doing the Hagrid thing, you know? Yeah. And part of me thinks that they're aware that the people who are aware find the fake Hermione really silly.
Oh, yeah, she is.
And I don't think you're going to get Mr. Radcliffe to come back.
No, he's not even in, like, Escape from Gringotts.
Yeah, that's the thing. So like, they kind of got away with that, you know, in Gringotts with him.
Yeah.
Hermione's voice sticks out, though, especially on the train. It doesn't sound like her at all. So with this, you want someone, I think Universal would want somebody who, like, hey, this character. And Hagrid is a big warm hug.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's proof just in Escape from Gringotts where we get Hux. Donald Gleason playing, you know, one of the Weasley boys again.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how far they had to go to try to get a face on somebody. Yeah.
Hux, pasty guy?
Where I think you saw him,
25 like, seconds total. I don't know. Yeah, like he's in the office. That's actually the office bit, I guess, is pretty lengthy.
Yeah.
But in the interaction then, you know, he pops up a couple of times. He's pretty much, he's your guide.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be Hagrid here. And that's why I feel like you'll be in the Sidekick.
My biggest problem with the attraction is the new one, assuming we're going through the Forbidden Forest. Nothing's confirmed, but that's what it seems like. You go through the Forbidden Forest and Forbidden Journey.
Yeah.
Like, you've got Aragog. You're going to show Aragog in two different attractions?
Yeah, because I think they're going to...
Are you going to show the Whomping Willow in two different attractions?
No, but I think there's other aspects. Centaurs will attack you. You know, it'll be something like that. But, yeah, we do go through the Forbidden Forest in there, but you... I don't think that we don't have to go through again. I think we can make
do with it. I mean, I'm fine if you're going through the... Like, you don't use Aragog again. Like, but that's kind of a big part of the Forbidden Forest.
It is. I think that you're going to see an aspect of a spider in some way or another. But we'll see. And that's coming out next, it would say summer. It didn't actually say summer or fall. I think it just said 2019.
I think it just said 2019.
So that, I'm
and a lot
assuming,
of the track's up already, so.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just hope everything works and it's not overly done with screens. Let's just pray for that. All right, so obviously right now the big thing in the title of the show is Halloween Horror Nights, which is ongoing. We have gone a number of times. I've gone about 7 or 8 times
now. I think
I'm
about 7 also.
Yeah. So we wanted to go that many times before we gave our house rankings. Also because opening night, people who come out with rankings based on opening night, that's garbage.
Yeah.
Because you're basing something on – now, this isn't a good thing. The houses aren't, they never seem ready on opening night. Mm-mm. Which, if you're going once and you're there for opening night, I kind of feel like you're getting a lesser version.
You're getting like a raw deal.
Yeah, I feel like you're kind of getting a raw deal because timing isn't somewhat there in most of the houses. There'll be some houses where things just don't work yet or a prop isn't in place. I didn't notice that as much this year as we did last year.
Yeah. Well, last year we had the hurricane that slowed a lot of stuff
down.
Yeah,
that was the thing. So this year felt a lot more smooth. And I'll say I haven't noticed I have seen some houses like, oh yeah, that got a little better. That, but I think that they've been pretty good from the get-go.
Pretty much
this year.
Like, I mean, there's definitely been a couple where they've improved some things.
But. Yeah. So let's first let's go over what house. Well, I guess we shouldn't go over what houses are there, but we're just going to go with our house rankings from the bottom up, and I will probably have a lot of houses in the same spots, but we're gonna, you know, we'll kind of say them separately, but. What's in your bottom slot? So there are 10 houses this year.
You
the
know.
Most. Oh, yeah, I know what it is. But what is it?
It's the horrors of Blumhouse. It's just not good.
It's a bad house. It's a bad house based on two bad movies, which if you kind of look at the Blumhouse catalog, there's not a lot of really good movies in that. As much as I always root for when I see a Blumhouse title announced, they wind up not being very good for the most part. You could say like one of the Purge films was okay. The Conjuring is great. Conjuring 2 is good, but none of the spinoffs have been good. So
Insidious was good. The first one.
Insidious. That's true. Yeah. That was the first one. They made like four more or something like that. But yeah, Horrors of Blumhouse, unfortunately, that's my bottom as well.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't help. I haven't seen either films that they portray in that house, but I don't think I
never watched Sinister. And I thought, and I enjoyed that portion of the house last
this
year.
Just
a big smiling baby mask to me is not scary.
Yeah.
You know, like that doesn't do anything for me. So that's Happy Death Day. And they don't have 50 Cent music playing, which really would have made that house so much better. My firm belief on that house is that if 50 Cent showed up and like threw vitamin water at me, it'd be like top three.
Yeah, probably.
You know?
But
just
again,
yelling at me,
seen,
it's your
have
birthday.
Have you seen 50 Cent throw a first pitch at a baseball game? He'd probably miss
I have,
vitamin
that's a good
water.
Point, yeah. There'd be a lot of spilled vitamin water on the floor.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for the second year in a row, Horrors of Blumhouse. Well, last year I thought was okay because there was...
Last year had better films.
Two good spots sandwiched by a bad film, The Purge.
Yeah.
And this one has my two movies that I just don't care about at all.
Yeah.
And... The more I go through these houses, the more I realize it's not people that scare me. Like, just people with masks on, that doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
It's got to be, like, some other kind of thing.
Creature or something.
Yeah, a creature. Yeah. So I don't mean, like, a human being wearing a mask. I mean, like, in the context of the scare itself, if it's legitimately just supposed to be, like, a person, unless that person is Mike Myers, I'm probably not going to care.
Yeah.
Shoving guns in my face in this age of America also doesn't scare me anymore. It just seems like, oh yeah, that. What do you got at number 999?
I have Trick or Treat at number 9.
Jesus, so do I.
Wow. The visuals in the house are great. It looks like the movie.
It definitely does.
And they've got all the iconic scenes and stuff like that. But other than I just don't find it scary. I don't get scared in the house.
Neither do I. I just walk through it.
Yeah.
I want to get scared, but nothing. Just nothing.
The like only I'll see Sam and I'll just wave. I'll be like, hi, Sam. And
well, also the fact is there's three fake Sams.
Yeah.
There's three Sams that don't do anything.
They're just literally like they're mannequins that just stand there.
Yeah, they're mannequins that stand there. And I'll also say they're in three really creepy spots that if you took out that mannequin one night for morons like me who are like, I know what that is, and actually made it a real one, and it shifted itself towards me, I'd probably jump through the wall.
Oh, yeah, because we know where the fake ones are.
Yeah, now. So that would be a great way of working up that house. That movie, to me, is not scary at all. It's kind of, like, funny and charming in its own, you know, corny way, which is what it's supposed to be.
It's a cool anthology movie to kind of tie all the stories they tell in it together.
But, like, a movie that scares me, not at all. And the house is the movie. I really like the werewolf setup though.
Yes, that is in the werewolf part of the film that you walk through, they have a really cool werewolf puppet.
Yeah.
And it just works. It moves so fluid, you'd think it's like a real werewolf trying
the
to
the atmosphere
eat a
of that room is extremely effective. I think it's a great room.
And is it like this is a shame coming off this scare zone from last year cuz the scare zone was beautiful.
Yeah.
And it just worked really well, but as a house this just didn't work.
Yeah, for me it doesn't work at all. I've heard people be like, "Oh my god, that house," but also it's like because I guess you wanted to get retweeted by the official account. Like, that's sort of what it comes off as a lot, which I hate that that's my reaction to it. But I see that stuff and I'm like, there are better ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll give you my number 8, which you may not see this one coming. Halloween 4.
That's exactly what I have at
number 8.
I'm not looking at your list.
I'm not looking at your list anymore. All right, so I love Michael Myers.
Right, no, well, can I just say something? Starting here,
yes.
This is where...
I think all the houses are fine.
All the houses are fine.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they're okay. So this being number 8, this isn't a bad house.
It's not a great house,
but it's not a bad
great house, though. Yeah, the main issue with this house is... How many Michael Myers are too many Michael Myers?
There's a lot of Michael Myers.
There's so many Michael Myers. There's a long hallway stretch when you're going through something, and you can see 3 Michael Myers at once.
Yeah, if the scare actors get the timing wrong and like they kind of pop out all at the same time, you're like, why am I seeing 3 of
but,
them?
But like you have to also because it's a very long straightaway, and no matter what, you're going to notice those guys up front or girls. Yeah. I'm not sure. Because they have to scare the people who are in front of you.
Yeah.
And because there's a Congo line of at least 20 to 25 people in that one room. So that's a bad room. That's a really bad room. You're giving it up real early in there. 80s Halloween theme is great. I like the house overall, but there are so many Michael Myers, like maybe just an overload of it. But what else do you do? It's a Halloween house.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do?
It's Michael Myers. It's exactly what you want to see in the house.
But it didn't feel like that with Halloween 2 a pair of years ago.
Yeah.
It felt more balanced. This one feels a little too much. What do you got there at number 7?
At number 7, I have, we've talked about this. I want to love this house, and I don't.
It's going to be the same one, isn't it?
We're probably going to have the same list. Carnival Graveyard.
Yeah, it's number 7 on my list.
I really think our list is going to be the same pretty much until, 1 and 2. But, it's the visuals in this house are really cool. This is an original house they came up with where clearly you're walking through a carnival graveyard.
Yep.
All carnival attractions, circus attractions that are just kind of in the house. And it's, you know, you're not supposed to trespass or else they're going to torture you. And, I want to love this house. I really do. I feel like there's a great concept in there. It just wasn't executed properly.
So. I personally don't find the house scary at all, but
I don't really either.
I went with a group of folks recently, and I had never seen a group of 6 adults jump left and right out of sheer terror so many times. This house just worked for them on every level, to the point that there's a spot in it where there's a car that you walk by and the alarm goes off, and they just jumped out of their damn skin. And then I started getting a lot of enjoyment out of that. And there's a lot of there's a lot of great set pieces. Oh, this looks so good.
Yeah.
It's a really long house, too.
I'm looking forward to... You and I are doing the Unmasking the Horror Tour this coming Friday, where you go into the parks during the day, and they take you into the houses. And this is one of the ones they take you into.
Good.
And I'm looking forward to getting pictures and stuff in here just because it looks so good.
Yeah.
But there just weren't enough scare actors in here for me.
Did they stop doing the barrel thing? Does that
it
guy
looks
no
like
longer...
they did.
Yeah, he was doing. There's a spot
a carnival barker.
Yeah, and he throws barrels that go above
oil
your head.
Drums and bangs them together, so there's a really loud bang and you don't, you know.
But I only saw it opening night and I haven't seen it do it since.
I'm just wondering if it doesn't work.
So I guess. Or it takes too long for him to bring them back.
Yeah.
So for a large section of people, it's just a scare actor just hoisting these oil barrels back into place. Never mind me, sir.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything
here. So maybe that's where it came from. That's the only down point. I love these aerial things that they're doing, but the reset time is usually pretty lengthy.
Yeah.
So 1 out of every 20 people get to see the effect.
Yeah.
And that's a bad ratio. That's a bad ratio.
I've noticed a lot of the fan sites I go on and stuff. They'll post... Almost weekly, they'll post their favorite house list. Carnival Graveyard's up there for some people. I just think it just doesn't work for you and me, and that's all.
Yeah, I had a good time. I had a good time in it though last time.
It's not a bad house.
No. I just like the other ones more.
Yeah,
but I'm starting to get. What was it called? Lightning Gulch.
Oh yeah.
I'm starting to get a Lightning Gulch feeling from it, where I'm going in and I'm like, this is so silly, it's fun.
Yeah.
So maybe this is my fun house, even though another house I think is the definition of a fun house. So I'll give you my number 6. My number 6 is, without doubt, the most anticipated house in the public eye. But Stranger Things is what comes in at number 6 for me.
Hey, we're different here.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So I'll just say my thing about Stranger Things. I think it's an incredible looking house. Maybe one of the best I've ever done.
I think it, like, I mean, I've been going for longer than you, and I think it is the visually for the IPs that they bring in, the best that they have ever done.
I'll say right now, Shining is at the top of that list.
See,
for me,
there's like one and 1A. Like, okay. Stranger Things is really good, but American Werewolf in London was phenomenal.
I wish I would have saw that one.
God, I wish you could have. You would have loved it. Being the film guy that you are,
yeah,
that like, you would have loved that house.
So, to Stranger Things, a show I really enjoyed season one, season two, I don't think is very good. But I was looking forward to this house a lot. But there was one thing, it's sort of the Michael Myers problem where. You're like, well, what do you have outside of a Demogorgon? And Demogorgon, to me, doesn't have the scare factor of a Michael Myers, I guess, just in my head. But they do use that character effectively in the spots where he does pop up. But that's really kind of scare-wise, that's what the house has.
Yeah.
This
except for
is,
that one friggin' hopper, man. Like,
there is, yeah. See, that's the weird part. The thing that got me scared, that gave me the biggest reaction, like, oh, was Hopper. A jump coming out of damn near nowhere and just making me jump real hard.
Yeah, I remember he got me once, and like I practically ran because I was like, oh, yeah. Like,
he's telling you to run, so
yeah,
that works
exactly
out.
Yeah, he was telling me I wasn't.
Did what he told him. But as visually incredible as it is, it just doesn't, it's not scary to me. But man, the set pieces are really something.
There are some, the set pieces are awesome, but like, some of the effects they do with the Demogorgon, where it's like the face blooms open and
that's
a mask.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And these people are massive. Like, they're like seven. These costumes are like at least 7 feet tall. You know? Like, I mean, from the tip of like the bloom of the Demogorgon.
Oh,
all
yes,
the way down.
Yes. So, yeah, but that's in my number six. I think it's a, everything, again, I'm going to say, everything from eight down is like, I don't think you want to miss it. And I don't. If you're a fan, if you're a real fan of this show,
you're gonna
absolutely love this show.
Yeah,
you're gonna love this house.
And this house is just based on season one. There's no season two.
Yeah,
in
there's
here.
No. Not that you would tell the difference anyway, because
no.
it's the same damn thing. But yeah. So what was your number six?
My number six, I bet you, was your number five, and it's Slaughter Cinema.
Yes, it is.
So here we flip flopped a little.
Yeah, here we flip flopped.
So this is good. So we can kind of talk about both. Slaughter Cinema this is kind of like the fun house this year.
Yeah.
It's just really cheesy, made-up B-movie.
Mm-hmm.
B-movies, I should say. Where they're just fun. Like, I mean, there's, you know, Amazon cannibals from Planet Hell.
Yeah.
And the Barber Chop. And
say it.
Say your Revenge of the Swamp Yeti.
Swamp like, Yeti!
The Swamp Yeti and Peter Boys. They've become friends.
Yes. Well, why is this... So how about this? Why is this below Stranger Things for you?
Just on the production value alone.
Okay.
Like the production value
All right.
for Stranger Things. I like originally I had Stranger Things up there a lot higher. I had it like in my top maybe four. It's in the top five. So it's one of the better houses this year, but it's just the production value alone, just because it was so visually spot on from the show, is why I had it up higher.
So Slaughter Cinema, I will have, there is a bit of a poke I can give to it, is I don't think the first couple of portions of the house, I don't really think are that great.
No. Sorority Sacrifice, the first one you get to,
that one's
good.
Pretty fun.
And
the
then after
werewolf
that,
one seems
the,
like
the Devil
okay.
Dogs was kind of dumb.
Yeah, the Devil Dogs one. I wasn't a big fan of that one.
There's a Shitty's Kids, which is...
No, that see, like, that one doesn't scare me at all, but I'm like, oh, Spaceplex.
Yeah.
When I walk in there, I'm like, okay, I understand this thing. But then I think it gets really good.
Yeah. And one of my favorite scares this year is in this house. I don't want to give it away because it's big.
Okay. I know what you're saying.
Because you don't see it coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't.
Which, you know what? I think we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Little troll.
Hmm?
Big troll.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that they do a much better job hiding that than in one of the better houses of the year.
And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. For me, Slaughter Cinema, basically, that's last two-thirds of that house have become really fun for me.
They're just fun.
And I have not been scared more or gotten caught more. Like, scared, I guess, is not a word. But caught more off guard into almost tripping backwards than Swamp Yeti.
Yeah, Swamp Yeti.
I actually had no idea that people were in there. I was not paying attention. I then also was wondering where you and Vanessa were.
Yeah.
And I turned around and paid for it
very,
very harshly by a 7.5-foot Swamp Yeti roaring in my face as I cycled backwards. So, yeah, I have Stranger Things at number 6, Slaughter Cinema at number 5, and Jimmy,
and
you have
Slaughter
at 6, Stranger at 5. Just a really quick note. Slaughter Cinema, they're playing, you know, the B-roll, the trailers outside. They show the Hive 2. I want the Hive 2.
I want that house next year, and I want it in, like, a
I want a big house.
I want it in a soundstage.
I think it earned it.
Yeah.
I think it earned
it. And that was one of the houses last year. Remember the first few times we went through it, it wasn't very good.
Bad.
But towards the end, it climbed the list. Like,
yeah,
it was
climbing up the list. I was like, I want to go back in that house. Like, that was a house that every time I went in, I was like, oh, I wonder if we're going to see something a little different. And there always seemed to be a tweak here and there.
Yeah.
And it just showed. I don't know how the actual backstage like portion of this works. But to my knowledge, that was the house that was sort of done at the last moment. Because the Conjuring was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So obviously they had enough time to do all the, you know, the decorating and the costumes and whatnot. But I want them to have like a full production cycle to check out Hive, and I would be very excited.
Yeah.
So we're up to number 4.
Yep.
What do you got for number 4?
At number 4, I have an original. It's called Seeds of Extinction.
That's what I have.
This is a fun house. It's fun to go through. I don't mean it's like a fun house.
Yeah, it's not like a funny house.
A lot of good camouflage scares in this because it's essentially everything in the house is plant-based. Like a meteor struck the earth and like plants mutated and turned into these, you know, creatures. And
creep show, baby. This
yeah.
is a creep show reference. If I've ever seen one, at least I assume it is.
But so it's like you don't see a lot of the scares coming because you think they're like just part of the house, and it's an actual person.
I love the look and feel of this house. From the moment you walk into it, there's, you know, like the old phone booths on the side, and everything's moss covered. It's a great, great atmosphere. The costumes are smart. They're, as you said, they're really well blended. It hasn't been a great house for replayability for me because the scare actors are hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. So,
and once you know what that plain sight looks like, nothing is really hidden.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm basing this on. Like, I'm going to base this on someone's going there. What are they going to dig? And I think Seeds of Extinction is one of the more just atmospherically packed houses
that we've had. It feels a lot like Scarecrow from last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That house scared me, though, because it was a lot more narrow.
Yeah.
And it never stopped.
No.
There's a little section of hallway where,
it's
kind of Pandora-y with the colors.
Yeah.
And
like, I feel like
sort
that,
of
that
nothing happens.
Missing something. Like, why
yeah.
did you put it in here?
It looks so great, but like nothing happens. You're just walking through it.
Yeah.
But absolutely drenched in atmosphere, this particular house. There is a sequence with like a crashed biplane that I think is one of the best set pieces of the whole year.
Yeah.
And that also has a really good spot in it for a scare actor. Really beautiful looking house. This was one of the first houses we did on opening that this was like, oh man, this is going to be one of those houses.
Yeah.
Because I think we did Blumhouse very, very first.
I think we did it first because we were in the park early.
And it wasn't great.
Yeah. Being that I'm a team member at Universal, I got to go, like, they do a team member preview of Halloween Horror Nights for us. Where we basically, I think the longest we had to wait for a house was like 15, 20 minutes that night. But like, we went into Blumhouse and you and I got into the park early on opening night because you're the annual pass holder. And I was like, let's just go get this out of the way.
Yeah, let's do this and let's move on because it just didn't seem very interesting. But Seeds of Extinction in at number 4 for both of us. Number 3, I'm going to assume we're in the same place. Scary Tales, Deadly After.
Yes.
I love this house.
The theming's great in here. Like, essentially, it's, fairy tales that have gone bad. It's the Wicked Witch of the West, one in The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
God, you walk into this house and that first facade is just
crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's Dead Waters level crazy.
Yeah. It's huge.
And very well themed. Has a lot of interactive smells in this one. Mm-hmm. One of them's gross.
Yeah.
One of them is quite pleasant. And it might be, I will actually, the Hansel and Gretel room, the gingerbread house room, is my favorite room of the year.
Really?
I think that mask on the woman who is playing the witch is terrifying.
I gotta get a real good look at it next time.
I love it so much. That room is a film set, like just begging to be shot. I absolutely love it.
Well, you'll get to shoot it, I'm assuming, on Friday. So
I hope so. I really hope so.
I think they said for, like, because these Unmasking the Horror tours that you do, they limit the photos you can take in some of the IPs. So, like, you can only take some in Stranger Things, some in Poltergeist. But from what I've heard, pretty much is the originals, they're just like, take pictures or whatever you
want. All right. That was what it was like last year. That's why I have so many photos of dead water.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I really like this. We go from Wizard of Oz to Rapunzel, Little Mermaid, Hansel and Gretel,
Little Mermaid, Humpty Dumpty,
Little Miss Moffat has a small little
room.
Three Little Pigs.
And
Red Riding Hood.
And Goldilocks and Three Bears.
Yes, yes.
Red Riding Hood's kind of a brief little cameo.
It is, but a good one, but a good cameo. I think it's just an absolutely phenomenal house. And there's some really good scares.
Yeah.
I think there's a sequence where you're in like a room of mirrors with the witch, and that witch makeup is really good effective.
Yeah.
And she screams like, "My house!"
Like, and she's like,
Paige, basically.
She's not the typical Wicked Witch of the West from Wizard of Oz. Like, she's not green.
No, no, she's not. She's not. Man, that would have been a pain in the ass, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of really good scares. But man, another house that is just room to room, you're like, wow, look at all of this. And that wow factor helps for you to sort of maybe have more ability to get popped by somebody.
Yeah.
You know, because you're sort of like, ooh, look at that. And then someone's able to get you really good.
Yeah.
So Scary Tales, Deadly Ever After. By far the most impressive one that when you first walk and you see that house, you're like, oh.
And there's some good, like,
aerial
work in this house, too.
And the lion, I almost feel like it's not in a great spot because
I don't think I'm not sure I've seen it yet.
Because so it's in the very beginning. I'm going to tell everyone this because I don't want you to miss it. And I think that it's hard to see when you very first go in. You're going to see what's her name from The Wizard of Oz?
Dorothy
in a state of dismay. And then you're turning a corner, but you're turning to your left. But if you look to your right, there's a cowardly lion animatronic. It looks fantastic.
I really got to keep that because I'm not sure I've seen it.
It's absolutely fantastic looking. But you're sort of, your body is already turning to the left. You almost have to stop and look over your shoulder. It's just in a weird spot. I wish it was a little more front, but then if it was in the front, you'd see it right away. And that would kind of ruin it. So this, I know I can yeah, I know that we're going to disagree on this one. There's only two houses left. What is your number two?
My number two is Dead Exposure Patient Zero.
And then your number one then
is
being
be Poltergeist.
Okay. My number two is Poltergeist. My number one is Dead Exposure Patient Zero. Why? First, let's talk about Patient Zero, your number two.
Okay. Patient Zero, Dead Exposure Patient Zero literally scares me.
Yes.
Not like people say, oh, you know, they ask, are these houses scary? They're not scary, like, to me. It's more people, it's surprising, like people popping out at you.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't scare me. Dead Exposure scares me because you're walking into this house, it's pretty much dark, and it's lit by strobe lights. So I don't do well with darkness.
It's pitch black for seconds at a time.
Yeah.
It's great.
And especially with the strobe lights, because they're so bright, you know, it temporarily blinds you for a split second.
Yeah.
So you can't see anything. And I will walk through this house with my arms up just because I'm that scared.
That's exactly why it is my number one. I've never had a house that I entered. The first time I entered it, I was just like, what is going on?
It's just sensory, like, overload.
Things are happening everywhere. I don't know where to look. I don't know where to concentrate. And this is all the things that in this house, that's what you're supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
And it threw me off balance. And I actually got scared.
It's a scary house.
It's an actual scary house, which I don't think.
And there's so
Halloween
many different
Harness
types
does.
Of scares in this house.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, it.
Man, that subway gosh, scene.
That subway scene is subway so good.
I have seen people get wrecked onto the floor. I saw a woman hit the deck. Boom.
The last time you and I went in it, I almost fell down. I think I remember backing up and I bumped into you because somebody scared the crap out of me so bad.
Yeah, that's why it's my number one house, because I've never actually been. There was that one moment the first year we went when I got separated from everyone. I was in almost the very last scene of Halloween, and it was a pretty long hallway, but all I heard was the music kick in and know that someone was hidden up there. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, that actually scared me because there was no one around me. This house, for the pretty much the whole run, I don't know what's going to happen, where it's going to come from.
See, for me in Dead Exposure, there's one room that doesn't really work for me, and that's the room that's all white.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know what it's supposed... One, I don't know what it's really supposed to be.
I think it's just the end of a hospital.
Is that what
I
it
think
is?
So, because I saw...
But it's just... Yeah. So it's just like... You know, the rest of the house is all black, and then all of a sudden you're in this white room with blood splattered all over the wall.
Yeah, yeah. But, doesn't look good.
And there's only, like, one scare actor in that room.
There's not a whole lot going on in that final room. I wish that they would just throw a couple of people in there. But, yeah. But for the overall, though, this house is a heart attack.
Oh,
it's so good.
It's scary. And usually for, like, the houses that they build in tents, they're not great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, great. Scarecrow was good last year.
Yes.
But, like...
Probably the best ever. That I've seen.
Yeah.
I've only gone 3 years, but
yeah, it's pretty good.
That house,
it's definitely
that
up there.
House was incredible.
Definitely up there, but like that, like, but legitimately scared to walk in that house every time.
Yeah,
like my heart rate probably rises before I walk
it's,
in. Just
it's
because.
A really good build on the outside and everything. So that's my number one. But my number two is your number one. Hey-o. And that's Poltergeist.
Yes.
My most anticipated house, without a doubt, this year. And it does not disappoint in any way.
Nope. It's only... definitely a different telling of the film.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't start the way your brain would be like, we're going to go into the house.
Yeah.
You do. Kind of. I don't know. Is that a spoiler? I mean, we're supposed to talk about details. So let's talk about details.
Yeah.
You enter through the pool.
Yeah, like the pool scene at the end.
Yeah. You enter through the pool. Through the crypt that's underneath the house, because rumor has it, only move the headstones.
They didn't move the bodies.
Didn't move the bodies. That
only move
son
the headstones.
Of a bitch.
Ah!
Ah! So that's how you go into the house. So you're tossed into it right away. And I just think that house is gorgeously put together.
Oh, yeah.
It's so gorgeous. But why is it your number one?
So, admittedly, like, as much as a Horror Nights fan I am, I don't watch that many horror films.
Mm-hmm.
So, I watched Poltergeist for maybe the first time before I went to Horror Nights this year, like a week before.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
It immediately became my favorite horror film.
It's so good.
And it gave me every scene I wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It definitely does that.
So I just think it's a very kind of smart way of retelling.
It's a grandiose house. Like, there's a lot of big set pieces. There's a lot of very impressive puppets. There are crazy visual effects.
Oh, yeah.
The extended hallway being one of the most impressive that I think I've seen in the houses. And, you know, if you remember from the end of the movie when Joe Beth Williams is running down the hallway and the hallway is getting longer and longer – you get that effect. You see that effect as you walk through the house. The only reason why this is number two and not number one, because this was number one when we first went. But as Dead Exposure became like the house that I was actually like, oh, wow, I'm going to get scared in this house, which is exciting. The only thing with Poltergeist is there are so many huge, massive elements that – it's damn near impossible not to see them coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
Which was the same thing that we had last year with The Shining. The Shining was my favorite visual house, but they didn't hide anything very well.
Yeah.
And I don't think they hide anything very well in this house. Not that I think it matters, though, because it still works.
Oh, yeah.
I just, unfortunately, on replay walkthroughs, nothing makes me jump in that house. Nothing.
Not anymore.
You know, and in almost every other house, they can get me at some point. Not in Poltergeist. Maybe in the very, very, like, first section when you go through the crypt, because it's so dark and you don't know where it's coming from.
See, the one part where I still kind of get scared a little bit because I don't always see it coming is when you're actually walking through, I don't know what you want to call it.
I know what I want to call it.
The different realm.
Yeah, you're going through the light, yeah. In a sense. You're
like
going
you actually
through the
walk into the light. Yeah. And so there's a couple scare actors in there that if they time it right, they still get me. But
I feel like there's got to be more of them in there.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough
there's only
of them
like
in
two.
There. Yeah, it seems like they're running back and forth and working very, very hard just to get you over there. But that's it. I mean, like, these two houses to me are diamonds. So Scary Tales and Seeds of Extinction, actually, in my opinion. I think they're all really, like, diamond houses.
I agree.
So while we have slight differences, we have very, very similar houses.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go tonight.
I'm going tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely going tonight. I haven't gone in about a week, so I have to go.
Yeah, that's kind of why. Like you and I talked about this the last time. Like I think we're going too often too early.
Yes.
Like last year, I think we scaled it back a little bit. Like this weekend, I'm pretty much taking it off. I haven't been since last week. I'm not gonna go this week. But then next week, you know, we're going with a group of friends on Friday, and we've got our Unmasking the Horror tour on Friday, so it'll be a Horror Nights filled day.
Yeah, that'll be a nice day.
Yeah, so I'm.
But
just
I'm
like,
going
I'm
with two. I'm going with two friends tonight. But I haven't gone since last Friday, Friday was a massive amount of people.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited to return tonight and hit some of these houses up. It's a really good year for HHN. We didn't get to go into the scare zones too much. But basically, Vamp 85 is my favorite that I've ever had.
Vamp 85 is just fun. There's like a ton of energy in that scare zone. Nothing in there is really all that scary.
No, not
like
at all.
They call these scare zones. They're not scary anymore.
No, they're just fun.
Like back when I first started going to Horror Nights, or the first time I ever went to Horror Nights in like 2001, you'd walk through scare zones and there was fog machines. Like so many fog machines, you couldn't see anything. So you would get scared in the scare zone when scare actors would pop through the fog at you. Now, there's none of that.
Yeah, it's not really. The only one I would say is, what is it, the Harvest or whatever they're calling it?
No, Twisted Traditions.
That's a very creepy area. I like that area. That area has consistently been like a good scare zone because it's just nice and tight quarters and the trees are already around you. So it gives it a really good feel.
Like Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Like, there's nothing scary about that scare zone.
No, it's also very small.
But the masks are... Yeah. It's like you're in the film.
It's
like
exactly what you want it to be.
Yeah.
It's a good small little area with all the, you know, all the clowns are there and you can have a great time and just enjoy the hell out of it.
Exactly.
You know, that's what that house is for. That's what that scare zone's for. So, you know, just really quick, let's just read them over. My number 10 to 1, I got Horror is a Blumhouse, Trick or Treat, Halloween 4, Carnival Graveyard. This is where me and you have a little bit of a difference.
Yep.
I have Stranger Things at number 6, Slaughter at number 5. You have those reversed.
Yes.
We both agree Seeds of Extinction, Scary Tales come in at 4 and 3. And then number 1 and 2, again, I'm going to go with Poltergeist number 2, Dead Exposure. Number 1, Jimmy having Poltergeist in his top slot. And that, my friends, wraps it up for this week's show. So I hope everyone had a good time. To all the Dopey Dudes listening, hey guys, what's up? Come on over and check out Disney Magic Hour. We basically cover film. We're film folk. So if you want to hop on over, Disney Magic Hour, you can find us on all your various ways. And check us out over at the Facebook page, the Disney Magic Hour.
And to all the Disney Magic Hour people, hello again. Nice to see you. Thanks for listening. And come over and check out the Dopey Dudes. You know, like I said, check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/thedopeydudes. And subscribe to us on iTunes and make sure you leave us a review too. We'd really appreciate that.
Reviews
let us know how you like the show.
Always helpful. Disney Magic Hour will be back in a couple of weeks. I believe we're going to finally review The Black Hole, one of the strangest damn movies I've ever seen in my life. It's very Event Horizon-y. And until then, guys, have a nice week. Be good to each other. Life is chaos. Be kind. Jimmy, any final words?
Everything Pete said.
Huzzah! See y'all later, guys and gals.
Take it easy, guys.